Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Chaz Mosh Show. I am Chaz, aka Mosh of the legendary tag team The Headbangers, and this right here is where we talk wrestling, life, and everything in between. So let's get started. We're going to get started with a little pineapple coconut water here from Once Upon a Coconut. You go to onceuponacoconut.com to get yours. You know, I talk about it all the time. You get a little hydration, electrolytes here to get the shizzo started. Let's go. All right. So what I want to jump into today is I want to talk a little fan interaction. And there's a reason why I'd like to talk about that. The biggest reason is because sometimes, listen, I say it all the time. Glenn and I say it at almost every single show now, especially since we're on this retirement tour that we're on. You know, we like thanking the fans for supporting us for all the years. And, you know, without the fans, there is no us. When I say us, there's no Mosh, there's no Thrasher, there's no Headbangers. There's no WWE, there's no AEW, there's no NWA, there's nothing. I mean, if you want to expand past that even more, without the fans, there's no NFL, there's no NBA, there's no MLB. My Phillies. But my point is, there is no movies, there's no superstars, there's no nothing without the fans. But at the same time, because you're a fan, doesn't give you the right to interact and act certain ways. And we talked about this. I spoke about this a little bit after WrestleMania with all the weird interactions that went on there. So I wanted to bring it up again and maybe dive a little deeper into it, because the other night when I saw Fatal Influence win the tag titles, and again, big congrats to them. So happy for Fallon and Lainey. And JC Jane, you know, they're doing a simply tremendous job. And, you know, to be the tag champs now is amazing. And, you know, being I've been there, done that before, I know how that feels. And it's freaking awesome. But there's the video that went out, and Fallon actually posted something about, you know, please don't touch me. There's no reason to be touched. And it was this one kid in particular. You need to stop putting your hands on the wrestlers, on the athletes, because you buy a ticket. The ticket doesn't give you the right to put your hands on people. The ticket gives you the right to be in the building and sit in your seat and enjoy the show. Now, there's a little bit of difference. You want to stick your hand out, and you know, as we're going to the ring, we slap hands. That's different. But the shoving, the pushing, doesn't work. And I'm a big note taker, so I put some notes here, because if not, I just ramble and, you know, I forget what I want to say. But, you know, you need to stop doing it. I just often think, like, what makes you think you have the right to push, grab, or shove someone because we're a wrestler or because we're an athlete or because whatever the reason is? Just makes me wonder why you feel that's okay when it's not. If I walked up and I pushed you, you would instantly, you know, people want to press charges. You know, I'd be going to jail for assault. You know, being a performer doesn't mean I have to give up my right to my personal space and, you know, basic respect that I deserve. You know, the idea is for you to cheer, boo, have fun. Yes, that's all part of the show, but not interacting and pushing and shoving, you know, isn't necessary. You know, if I react, I'm the bad guy. And I've reacted before, and you know, I had one time, I remember getting out of the ring, it was a WWF show, and I got out of the ring, I think it was TV actually, and as I like backed up to the barrier, someone gave me a shove, and I turned around and literally almost ripped this guy's head off, because you become, as a performer, as a wrestler, you become very defensive. And what do? When you get defensive, you want to defend yourself and you want to fight back. You don't want to, you know, you feel like you're being attacked, and it's just not a fair thing. And if I do react, I'm the bad guy. Someone puts their hands on you, but because you're on TV, you're expected to just take it. I mean, that's just not the way it is. If I walked into your office and I just walked over and I shoved you, what would happen? Call security, call the police. I'm getting arrested. If you're in a normal job and someone does that to you, a coworker does that to you, or some, you know, that's what's going to happen. This isn't about being a baby face or heel. It's about being respectful for each other. And I preach this a lot of just treat people how you want to be treated. If you don't want some random person pushing you, then why would you push someone else? You think it's cool. You think it's fun. You think it's funny. It's not cool. It's not funny. It's fucking stupid. So keep your hands to yourself. I can remember, you know, as a kid, I went to a show at the Spectrum where I used to go all the time in Philadelphia. And there was, I think it was, if I remember correctly, it was Hercules Hernandez and Hulk Hogan. And a fan jumped into the ring. Hercules Hernandez had the chain and he was choking Hulk Hogan. And I remember a fan jumped in and started hitting Hercules from behind. And literally, and I know this is a little different than just pushing someone, but it's kind of the same concept. Hercules trying to beat the shit out of this guy. And we were all like, whoa. But if that happened today, you know, it's a different time. It's a different thing. Like, people don't react. And if I beat you up and you're in my area, as a matter of fact, I talk about this in my book, Beneath the Skirt. We were in hold on, Dave. I don't know. I'll answer questions in a second. Sorry. I just read that and it threw me off guard. So where's that? Oh, Clairfield, Tennessee. So we were at Smoky Mountain, Clairfield, Tennessee. Clairfield, Tennessee was like backwoods, deep in the mountains. We had to go up into Kentucky and come up and come down and come around. And we get there and we're doing our thing, and I believe it was a handicap match, not a handicap match. It was a 2 out of 3 falls match with us against Robert Gibson and Dirty White Boy Tony Anthony. And there was a girl sitting at ringside, and we were last match. Girl sitting at ringside, and she just looked dirty. And we're heels, you know, heels. That's what we do. You know, we make fun of people. You know, we got to get heat from the crowd. So I was calling this girl a dirt ball. I mean, I was calling her a dirt ball a lot, like chanting it, like dirt ball, dirt ball. And I'm doing it over and over and over to the point where she had enough of me calling her a dirt ball. And back then there was no barricade. There were cans that had cement in them with a stick and each corner with a rope. And that's all the barrier was from us and the fans. And she comes over the rope or under the rope, whatever, and she starts swinging at me. And I'm backing up, and I got my fist up. I got my fist up like I'm going to fight her, but I'm trying to avoid her at the same time because clearly I don't want to hit this poor woman. And I'm backing up and I'm waiting for some kind of security or someone to come grab this woman. No one grabs her. So she finally tries kicking me and almost gets me right in the beanbag. And that's when I said, okay, I had enough of this. And I grabbed her by the shoulders and I literally picked her up and threw her on the ring apron. And I just held her there, never hit her, never pushed her. I just was holding her there again, waiting for security to come grab her, which never came. All of a sudden I felt this tug on my shoulder. And as I turned around and looked, somebody was coming with a fist. I just was faster, and I hit this guy square in his eye socket. I broke his eye socket, his cheekbone, and his nose all with one punch, and the guy just dropped. And I went, oh, shit. You know, I didn't know. I've never had that happen before. I've never had to hit somebody, you know, but I'm like, I'm defending myself, and I'm in my area, and I'll never forget it. Robert Gibson yells out of the ring, get in the ring, get in the ring. I slid into the ring and he rolled me up 1, 2, 3. I stood up. He rolled me up 1, 2, 3. And he goes, get the hell out of here. So it was a, again, it was a 2 out of 3 falls match, but we get in the back. I'm paranoid now that I just did something wrong and I'm going to get fired. Everyone in the locker room told us to grab our shit and leave and don't get changed. Don't get anything. Just leave and drive and get out of town and then find somewhere to change or clean up or whatever it was. It just so happened that we were actually driving back to New Jersey. So we literally drove probably 6 or 7 hours before we stopped. And thank goodness we did that, because from the story we were told was the rednecks, they all kind of got their trucks and blocked everyone in, and they had their guns and they were looking for me. So this comes from me now going to get in trouble, possibly shot, killed, I don't know, beat up, whatever they were going to plan, whatever their plans were. Thank goodness I was gone. And, you know, they held all the other boys there for hours until they were convinced that we really weren't there. I don't know what would have happened to me at that point, but all that stemmed from someone entering my safe space and decided they wanted to beat me up, all because, you know, I was calling her a dirt ball. But in this instance, I'm talking about Fallon. She was just walking backwards, heading back to the locker room, celebrating winning a championship. And here's some punk ass kid who wants to lean over and push her. Like, but if Fallon reacts, then Fallon's the bad person. So my point to all that is just keep your hands to yourself. Go to the show. Enjoy the show. There's no reason to put your hands on anyone. Keep your hands in your pockets. I don't know. Do something. Tie time up if you feel like that. That's what you got to do. And if you're a parent, ask yourself this. You know, would you want someone putting their hands on your son or daughter, period, at work, wherever? If the answer is no, why is it okay? Because we're wrestlers. Wrestling is built on emotion. We want to draw that emotion out of you. We want you to cheer. We want you to boo. We want you to laugh. We want you to cry. And I want you to lose your mind to a certain extent. That's what makes this business so special, is drawing that emotion out of you. But at the same time, you got to control your emotion. You're watching a movie. You're not going to pick up something and throw it at your TV because you don't like that Darth Vader just did whatever it is that he did. But the moment you put your hands on a wrestler, you stopped being part of the show and you become part of a problem. Respect us. We'll respect you. And we'll keep giving you everything we have, because, you know, one bad apple ruins the whole batch. Well, one stupid fan can ruin the experience for thousands of the other fans that are actually being respectful and doing what they're supposed to, which is enjoying the show. You know, that happens. What's going to happen in the future is security is going to get tighter. They're going to move the barriers farther away, so you don't have that closeness with the wrestlers, with the superstars. And I understand the emotion side. You get emotionally attached. You want to be closer to them. You know, you want to touch an arm, or, you know, putting a hand out and, you know, one of us running into it or us high-fiving you. You want that experience. I get it. I understand it. I've been there. I've done that. As a kid going to the shows, you know, I've done that. But security will get tighter. Barriers get further apart. Guys and girls, us as wrestlers, will become less interactive with you. Meet and greets will become more controlled. And then everyone loses, because I love doing meet and greets. I love doing conventions. I love interacting with the fans. I love all of that. But as a performer, especially as a female performer, even though I'm not a female performer, the female performers have a little bit harder, because, you know, you got to be careful where you put your hands. Like, when a fan comes up, it's a female, I got to watch where I put my hands. I got to be careful where I touch, because it's just weird. You know, just fucking keep your hands to yourself and enjoy the show. There, simple. All right, there, rant over. Let's see. David Johnson, about a month ago or so, you were toured being part of UCW in Saginaw, Michigan. They had a flood. David, I don't know. I haven't heard anything yet, so I'll have to let you know. You just have to stay tuned on here or my social media and check it out, because I put everything on there, just like some of the stuff I have coming up soon. What's going on the gram over here? Oh, look at all these peeps. Let's see. All right, no questions there. All right, cool. Cool. All right, let's talk about SummerSlam. I'm excited for SummerSlam. I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be fun. A lot of compelling matches / storylines that could... Where'd I go back here? Oh, please. Technical difficulties. There we go. Now we're back. All right. I think there's a lot of interesting stuff for SummerSlam. I think there's going to be some interesting storylines coming out of SummerSlam. And then some things have gone that you make me go, like, how's that going to go? So anyway, let's jump into it. I want to start with Gunther and Nick Aldis. They teased that for a while. You know, there's been some other times they've teased Nick Adam Pearce about possibly getting back in the ring. But Nick Aldis is a great wrestler. He's a great worker. I think him and Gunther are going to have a tremendous match. And, you know, Nick's a former NWA, heavyweight champion. He's been around for a while. He knows what he's doing. And I just think between the two of them, their skill set, it's going to be a great match. And I think Gunther is going to win the match. But I don't think Nick needs to win the match. Nick needs just to get an over in the match, because coming out of there, who knows if Nick's going to be a full-time wrestler, if he can go back to being a GM. Because if you think about it, if Gunther beats Nick, then Nick basically has no authority over Gunther. Gunther, goes back to SmackDown, and, Nick says to him, hey, do this. Gunther's going to be like, yeah, beat off. I'm not doing it. I'll do what I want. But I know, Adam Pearce told him if he signs a contract, he's no longer GM, he's a wrestler. But, who knows what will happen, if he'll go back to it. But I think Gunther goes over in that match. And I think Nick, I know Nick will get himself over. And then, he'll be a great addition to the roster if that's where, he chooses to go, or that's where they choose to use him moving forward. I think the 6-man tag team match with LA Knight, Solo Sikoa, and Royce Keyes versus the Bloodline, Jacob Fatu and Usos. There's so many storylines that could come out of that. Is Solo going to join the Bloodline? I sure as hell hope not. I was kind of disappointed when Jacob fell into line. And, I think Jacob was finally starting to take off, getting his own person, his own personality, coming out, doing his own thing. I thought that was amazing. And I feel the same way about Solo now. Solo's getting his own footing going, his own groove going. I love the fact that Jey Uso the other day shoots the warning shot, and then you hear from the crowd, pew, 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 with Solo. Like, I think that's great. I do have, in my opinion, I have the Bloodline going over here. But again, there's so many different storylines that comes out of here. It's the Solo, the Solo screw over LA Knight and Royce Keyes by joining a Bloodline. I don't think that happens. Does Royce Keyes turn? Because, he's close with Jacob. He's close with Jimmy. He's close with them also. And then just leave LA Knight out on his own. I really don't want to see that either, because I don't want to see LA Knight have to go back and do an angle with one of them. But at the same time, I'd like to see this whole thing with Solo and the Bloodline kind of end. Jacob getting Solo down and being that close to doing something to him and then stopping because he's family. Like, it's kind of like, all right, let's move on here somehow, some way, with the Bloodline and Solo and Royce and LA Knight. And I know LA Knight's whole thing right now is worrying about the Bloodline. But I don't know, just somewhere in there, that's got to just kind of move forward for me. So we can jump up to the Women's World Championship match. Again, we have a rematch from Queen of the Ring. Liv versus the champion versus Io Sky. I really want to see Liv go over. I really, really do. I want to see her hold that belt for a while. I want her to continue to be the greatest of all time. Yeah, that was awful. Thank you. I know. Yeah, I wanted to see it. I honestly was surprised when Io won that she didn't go after Rhea. I don't know, it could have been because Rhea was hurt. Who knows why? But I can see Io going over here as well. Either way, it'll be a good, fun, solid, solid, what's the word I'm looking for? Not just solid, hard-hitting match. I can see the two of them, like, Liv's just hard-hitting. Well, they're going to beat the shit out of each other, and it's going to be really good. And then you have the six women tag team match. With Fatal Influence and versus the Bella Twins and Paige, you know, I want to see Fatal Influence go over here in the worst way. I want to see them keep going and going and going, which they're going to. I mean, it's a non, the belts aren't on the line. So I'm going to lean towards, unfortunately, the Bella's going over. But I want to come out of this and have them, I can see the, with Nikki coming back, maybe they feud with Nikki. With Fallon and Lainey, maybe Paige and JC Jane do something a little bit. But then I want to see, I'm hoping JC Jane moves up to Intercontinental or I guess it's US title because they're on SmackDown, the US title status bumps her up a little bit more instead of just going to the ring with them because she's a great worker. And Fatal Influence is just amazing. And I'm just going to, you know, love watching them get better and better and better and better. Let's see, who do we got next? Sorry, I need a little once upon a coconut water. Hell in a Cell. Obafemi versus Brock Lesnar. I wasn't, you know, I was liking everything about this storyline, everything about it. I was loving the promos opening Raw up every week. Loving all of it. And then the cage comes down. And then the cage comes down, which is great. I don't know. I thought a weigh-in was kind of silly, but, you know, is what it is. Like, you got to have a, something, I guess, a different gimmick instead of just them facing off every time. But I thought it was cheesy with Brock locking him in. And the only thing I thought was cheesy about it was I really wanted Oba to just rip a panel off. Pull a Mark Henry and break the chain, break the door open, get a little more physicality. Him beating up the security guards and then throwing the scale. I don't know. It's like we're all excited about that match. I don't think it's going to be an Undertaker Mankind sort of brutal match that way, but we're all still excited about it. I mean, anything with Brock is great. Oba's amazing. You know, it's going to be very physical. They're going to beat the heart of each other in that cage. And I'm sure, you know, they're going to come up with some fun, different things that we haven't seen before. I wasn't thrilled with the go home with the Hell in a Cell. I think they just could have made that a little bit better. But hey, that's just my opinion. What do I know? But I definitely have Oba going over here. I think this is the Brock passing the torch. I think this will be the end of the trilogy, which will bring up a whole different thing now. Like after that, you know, what does Brock do? Does Brock stay? Does Brock leave? Is he retiring? Who knows? But then even, you know, and if he leaves from there, what happens with Paul Heyman? Paul's kind of written the vision off. You know, they have Maxine there now. And so again, another, it's kind of interesting from there, what's going to happen with Brock and Paul Heyman. But then it's even more interesting what happens with Oba, because does Oba now go to Adam Pearce and say, listen, I'm ready for my title shot? And does Adam Pearce look at him and go, well, you had a title shot at SummerSlam and you turned it down to wrestle Brock Lesnar in a Hell in a Cell match? And Oba goes, well, no, I told you I can have a title shot whenever. And Adam says to him, well, no, your title shot was at SummerSlam, which you passed on to wrestle Brock Lesnar. So does Oba now have to go into, I think this would be, it could be a, I guess, call it a life lesson in the wrestling world, a life lesson to never turn down that championship opportunity. But do they make him now earn it and have to go work to get it back? Does he have to qualify in Money in the Bank? Let's say he loses that. Then he's got to go to the Royal Rumble. He doesn't win it there. Then he goes on to the Elimination Chamber, and maybe he finally wins it there to get a title shot at WrestleMania. There's so much to do here with it. I just hope they don't go, okay, Oba, now you get a title shot. I want to see Oba have to fight to get the title shot back now that he's turned it down. So that'll be interesting to see after that. Also, again, everything's going to be interesting to see when this is over. But so then we have the undisputed WWE Championship match with CM Punk, the champion, versus defending against Cody Rhodes. This is another going to be a tremendous match. And, you know, there's a big talk of this should have been, you know, Sunday night's main event, night two main event, not night one main event. You know, my personal opinion is Roman's a bigger name, and the storyline is longer with him and Seth, which is why they got that spot, and which is why they did all the packages for it leading up to it with all the history of it. That's why it's there. But I have Punk defending it here. You know, they're going to go out there and kill themselves to prove to everyone and to the office of why they should have been night two main event, not night one main event. Yeah, so that again, another great knockdown brawl that's going to be. I see some hard way going there, people getting hard way to open. And Cody just doesn't care. Cody just wants to have a great match. And if that takes, you know, literally beating the shit out of each other, you know, that's what they're going to do. Let's see. I don't know if, David, you said Oba needs Paul Heyman. I'm guessing you meant Heyman. But I don't think he needs Paul at all. Oba's good on his own. He doesn't need him. He doesn't need him at all. Albert Romero, how do you book us for an event? You can send me an email at chaz@chazmosh.com. You can do it there. Nikki and Bella turn on Paige after they lose. Yeah, I can see that too. But then where do they go from there? What does you know, you have two against one there. Like what happens? But I mean, anything's possible. Anything's possible. So let me jump over here to the gram. What do we got here? Any questions or comments? Could be visiting the UK soon. I actually had someone reach out to me from England. We're trying to work on some stuff there, but I just don't know when that will be. So stay tuned. Pete, what's up? Works his way up with a chin up on his shoulder. I don't even know what that means, unless it's something I said. And yes, he's a Mean Street Posse legend. He's just a legend, period. If you haven't read his book, you should go get it on Amazon and read it. And I don't know what the fact of Roman and Rock being cousins have to do with the price of tea in China. But okay, hey, leave the comments, write questions. Gives me a little bit more interactive stuff here to do. And yeah, so just keep doing it. So now we have night two. We have Danhausen versus Dominic Mysterio. Listen. I love both of them. The concert with Danhausen and Joe Hendry was maybe not the greatest thing in the world, but they do everything for a reason. And you have different audiences that watch. For instance, not everyone's going to love everything that's done. Some people love the violence and the blood. Some people like the entertainment, the ha-ha stuff. Danhausen is obviously clearly ha-ha entertainment stuff. But the good part about that is I was listening to Busted Open Radio the other day, and Bully Ray and Dave LaGreca were talking about this, and they both hated it. But then someone called in And he said he sat there and he watched it with his wife and his son. And his wife and the son loved it. They loved it. They loved Danhausen. They loved the minis. They loved everything about it. And that's the point. They were selling to the kids. They sell to the kids because the kids bring the parents in and the parents have the money that buy the stuff for the kids. We do appearances. Glenn and I do appearances. Parents are walking by. The adults are walking by. Kids walk by. We focus on the kids. We get the kids' attention. I draw them in and I'll give them one of my activity books. Because now they're going around telling everyone that where you got the activity book from. I got little bracelets. I give them the little bracelet. That draws the parents in. And then they look up at the parents and say, oh, we want a picture with them. These guys are fun. They're cool. They're this or that. That's the point of Danhausen. And I think that was part of it. Again, it was to get this, help get the storyline along to lead it to SummerSlam. Yes, I understand that. But Danhausen's going to draw in a different type of audience. It's going to draw in that the guy that's sitting there watching it on TV and his girlfriend walks by and she sees this Danhausen character. She's going to stop and she's going to watch, and that could suck her in. So that's the point of that. And I've had people say to me, oh, poor Dominic. Like, you know, he's stuck in this shitty angle. First of all, there's nothing shitty about it. Second of all, Dominic's so over, no matter what kind of angle you put him in, he's going to continue to be over. It's that simple. You know, Cornette used to tell us all the time, because we would ask Cornette, like, oh, we're back with the Oddities again. And then, but 2 weeks later, we're wrestling the Outlaws, the New Age Outlaws, for the tag team titles. We're like, what's going on? And he goes, you're over. He goes, no matter what they do to you, the people are going to cheer you or they're going to boo you. You're going to get a reaction. And so you're going to get used. So just go with it. It's the same thing with Dominic Mysterio. No matter what they do with him, no matter what kind of storyline or angle they put him in, he's over. So it's going to work. And he's going to be able to get the angle over because he's a great storyteller. And that's what we're doing here. We're telling stories and we're drawing emotion out of people. So I think Danhausen goes over there. I really, really think that, and I think this would be the greatest thing, at least for me in my mind, if they started putting a counter up there of the streak and he beats Goldberg's undefeated streak. I don't know what that number is, 90 or 93 or something like that. I just think that would be awesome if they started putting that streak up there. But I think Danhausen goes over here as well. Then we have the United States Championship match, which some people think could possibly turn into a four-way, which is possible, but I hope it doesn't. I think Trick holds the belt here, remains champion. Trick's getting over so well. He's doing such a great job. He's going to go over on Baron Corbin. And then, you know, that could bring in. But then again, I could see Baron Corbin going over here also. And then, you know, Melo's coming in more. Melo comes back into the mix a little bit more. But this could turn into a four-way with Melo as well. But, yeah, I think Trick goes over here. And then, you know, we see what happens from there. Because I think I just don't want them to rush it. Because I think they could take the belt off Trick, put it on Baron. And then Trick kind of moves up into that Money in the Bank spot. But I don't want them to do that too fast. I think he's rolling with this United States Championship and doing a great job with it, and he should hold it. So sticking with that championship, we can move on to the Intercontinental Championship match. Penta, the champion, defends against Chad Gable. Interesting match here, especially with the whole Chad Gable story. And I kind of see Chad going over because I think Penta's kind of in that same spot I just mentioned Trick Williams is, where maybe it's time for him to move up into maybe a little bit higher spot because they need to start elevating Trick, Penta. They need to start elevating these guys up a little bit more because, you know, you can't just keep running with the same four or five guys at the top. So they got to slowly start elevating them. And I think I could see them taking the belt off Penta here and putting it on Chad because of the whole storyline. But personally, I would love to see Penta keep the belt. They did this the video package the other day of Chad Gable talking about how he was, because he felt he needed to have a belt, because he felt the belt made him as a person. It made him, it would define him. So and now he's on this, I'm so sorry, I was so wrong. I'm going to pay my penance, whatever the hell fuck it's called. He's going to do all that, and he's apologizing to everyone, and I'm so nice, and I'm going to clap hands, and we're going to do all this fun stuff. I want him to lose to Penta and then sit there and watch Penta celebrate and kind of stand up and look at him and be like, this is bullshit. No, I need that title, and have him just turn heel again. I think that would be great. I mean, I think it would be a great heel turn out of nowhere. No one would expect that. I think that would be a great way that he was heel, and then he turned into this lovable babyface thing. Let him turn heel. And we need more heels. I mean, that's how simple that is. We need more heels. So I really think Chad goes over, but I'd love to see Penta go over and then somehow Chad, turns heel. The undisputed WWE Championship number one contenders match. Boy, I'm torn on this one. I really am. I can see Finn going over and then Sammy going further down into that rabbit hole, that hole of poor me. I keep getting, I was just champion and I keep getting overlooked now. Like, I don't get a rematch. I got to do this contenders match. I can see it going that way. I also see Sammy going over, and he's had that taste of being, the undisputed champion, of being a world champion. He's had that taste, and, he wants it back, and he feels he's been wronged. We need justice for Sammy, and I want the last good guy shirts to come back. He's the last real good guy. I want that Sammy back, and Sammy going down a rabbit hole, I don't think hurts him. I think that could, if he loses and he goes down that way, poor me, poor me, poor me. Either way works. I'm going to pick Sammy, but I'm not picking it with all my heart. I'm not picking it with all my heart. And then we move into the interim. Hold, please. The interim WWE Women's Championship ladder match. Nothing against Julia or Lash Legend. I don't think either one of them comes into play here. Jade Cargill. So I say that because it doesn't matter which one wins. I don't think either one of them are going to get the interim title. Jade Cargill and Charlotte Flair have both come out and said, we're going to do everything we can to make sure the other one doesn't win. Tiffany Stratton, she's had the championship before. So I think this is an opportunity for WWE to put the belt on someone to see if they can run with it and to see how they do with it. And my heart and it says it's going to be Chelsea Green. I seriously think that would be so great for her because she's so great and her work's great. Her character's great. Give Chelsea a chance here to run with it and see what she can do. The other side of it is people, I was on the Lazy podcast, the other day, last night, and it was like, well, Charlotte winning the belt and her against Rhea kind of mean, is a bigger name thing. I agree, but if you let Chelsea do her thing, then Chelsea and Rhea could be a great match also. Or if a few weeks down the road they feel Chelsea's not doing, not holding it upright, or she's not carrying it the way they thought she would, it wasn't working, then fine, and you can switch the belt. I just think Chelsea here, this is the opportunity for WWE to let her run. Give her the belt, let her run, and let's see what happens. And then the other side of it is We get, you know, we now would have Matt Cardona as the interim WWE Women's Champion also, which makes it even better. But yeah, I think it's time. I think this is an opportunity doing an interim thing to let Chelsea run with it to see what she can do. And if they feel she's not doing what should be done or she's not handling it, then you take it off of her. It's not that big of a deal. But yeah, I think Chelsea here would be great. So that's my pick here is Chelsea. And now we have the World Heavyweight Championship match. The champion, Roman Reigns, versus Seth frickin' Rollins. I think Seth gave this finish away off that first promo he did when he challenged Roman by saying that Roman can't beat him. Roman's never beat him. I think Roman defends here. I think Roman and Seth have a knockdown freaking slobber knocker because they're going to have to outdo CM Punk and Cody from night one. They're going to have to outdo them to prove why they were the main event of night two and why Punk and Cody were not. So it's going to be a great match. They're going to beat the hell out of one another. Yeah. And I think Roman goes over because Roman, you know, he's on a roll right now and he's got to reestablish this belt and he's got to finish the story with Seth. You know, Seth has always outshined him and outsmarted him all along these 14 years that they've had this storyline going. It's Roman's, like, this is the final time for them. And Roman finally gets over on him. And plus for me personally, when Oba does get that title shot, I think Oba versus Roman, and it takes nothing away from Seth either, but I think Oba versus Roman is a bigger named match, if that makes sense. And I think in order for that to work and to really, really, really mean something that Roman got knocked off, Roman needs to hold the belt from now until whenever it is. He drops it to Oba. And I really hope that stretches all the way out to WrestleMania. I really hope they put Oba in Money in the Bank and he doesn't win. They put Oba in the Royal Rumble and he doesn't win. But finally, Elimination Chambers when he wins and he gets his shot. And then they go to WrestleMania and that's when he does it. Yeah. So that's who I got. I got Roman Reigns. I got Chelsea Green. I got Penta only because I'd like to Chad to turn heel and hate Luchas again. I got Trick Williams. I'm very skeptical, but I got Sammy. I got Danhausen. I got CM Punk, Oba, Liv Morgan, Gunther. I got the Bloodline going over, and I got, this hurts my heart to say it, the Bellas going over on Fatal Influence. Sorry, Lainey. Sorry, Fallon. But you guys are the champs, and that's what matters. Yeah, so that's my SummerSlam rundown. What you think? Yeah, I mean, they could have saved Hendry and Danhausen for Halloween, but I don't know. It is what it is. You know, they clearly had a reason for doing that. Anything over here on the gram? Kids have had tons of fun. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's the activity books. I appreciate that. Great. I'm working on some more, but I got some other projects I'm working on too. Like my Fortunate stuff, Live Fortunate, that's all coming out. More to come on that. I'm just still working on it, still kind of fine-tuning it, and working on a website for it. But I talked about it last week. But more will come out about that. Two legends from your childhood. I mean, I know Pete's a legend, but I don't know who else you were talking to in here, but cool. So, yeah, so that's it. So which match am I looking forward to the most? Oh, good question. The one I'm looking forward to the most. Let me see. You got the women's. You got Liv and Io. You know, the interim women's ladder match, I'm looking forward to that because I think, you know, again, with Tiffany and Chelsea, and if Julia's in there, I think they're going to do some really, really creative stuff in there. Other than that, I think I'm looking forward to the Hell in a Cell, and I'm looking forward to Roman and Seth. Like, let's get that storyline closed out so everyone can kind of move on. Yeah, so that's that. That's what I got. If you are going to be in Minneapolis this weekend, I will be there for WrestleCon Friday from 4 to 8 and then Saturday 10 to 2. Glenn and I will be there. I'll have t-shirts. I'll have books. I'll have some activity books. I'm kind of running low. I got to order more. T-shirts, pictures, books. We got all the gimmicks. And then from there, August 16th, we have CapCon, Create a Pro Wrestling, Brian Myers, little thing he's got up in New York. That will be at the Knights of Columbus in Lynbrook, New York. That's going to be a great time. There's a convention during the day. You got Rhino is going to be there, Steve Carino, the Professor Andre Chase, the most professional wrestler, Brian Myers. You have WWE Evolve star Aaron Rook there, and a lot more. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be great. So there's a convention during the day, but then there's a show at night. We're in a big eight-man schmoz. And then, not done yet, August 20th, we're back in Wildwood, New Jersey at the Wild Woods Convention Center on August 20th. Tommy with ISPW just reached out to me yesterday and said, hey, is there any way you guys can do that? And the answer is absolutely positively yes, especially since we are the new ISPW Tag Team Champions. Bag keeps getting heavier and heavier, but I'm not complaining about it. It's all great. It's all great stuff. So that's what we got going on. And remember, while you're here watching this, if you're watching it on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. You can watch it there. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts. You know, hit that like button there. That helps just get it out more. And head over to chazmash.com to grab Beneath the Skirt and some other exclusive stuff there. Amazon for activity books and for Beneath the Scar. And again, Liv Fortunate's coming online. I'm hoping by the end of the week I have it up and running. And more there. So it's going to be, you know, there's going to be different kind of t-shirt apparel, things like that. But it's more of a mindset. Fortunate, it's a mindset. It's more of a mindset and a meaning behind it other than just, you know, just apparel and t-shirts. But the t-shirts, I'm coming up with some pretty cool designs. I don't know, I think it's going to be cool. It's going to be fun to do it. And then again, you can follow me on all social media at Chaz Mosh. And let's see, anything last here on the gram? Yes, looking forward to coming back to Ontario. I think that's in November. I think that is. That's when that is. So, yeah. So that's it. So remember, fortunate's a mindset. Live fortunate and do whatever makes your heart happy. Just don't suck at it. Peace out. I'll see you guys on the road. And that's it. I'm out.